I'm starting, it's not a long series, but it will be about 5 weeks long. And it's on the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms. If you saw my copy, any of the copies of my Bible, it's just all marked up. And just because I come back to it over and over and over and over and over and over again. So I've called this series, What Works When Life Doesn't? Life doesn't work. Many times it doesn't work. And what do we do when it doesn't work? So I'm starting off this morning with the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Now, there's 150 Psalms. I'm only going to touch on 5, right? So I'm going to jump around a little bit, but these are heartwarming ones to my heart, and I trust it'll be electric for you and life-giving for you in every way. So I've called this today, When Happiness Eludes You. If we're under the impression that it's one of our basic rights is to be happy, then I'm sure there's going to be a lot of unhappiness. And so when happiness eludes you, what do you do? And I could put another thing. What can you do that brings great happiness to your heart and to your life that causes you to be a happy person? That's where we will try to visit if we can this morning. So Psalm chapter 1, this is pure gold, folks. This is just so, this first one, it's rich in every way. And I'll read it now, at these 6 verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Would you bow your heart with me? Father, I pray that you would make this truth real to our hearts today. I pray that we won't forget Psalm 1 because, Lord, of the word of the Lord coming forth this morning. So we thank you. Ready our hearts. Open our hearts. We want to receive from you, Lord. We want to be like this tree in Psalm 1. And we thank you and we praise you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to stick close to my notes so I don't wear you out and talk too long. The writer presents the reader with 2 alternatives of ultimate seriousness. Ultimate seriousness, found in verse 6. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows your way. He knows my way. But the way of the wicked will not perish. You see, you can either be among the righteous, this is true of every one of us here, or you can be among the wicked. But everyone belongs to one or the other. You belong to the righteous or you belong to the wicked. And there are 2 categories of human beings, according to the psalmist. That's how God sees it, the righteous, the wicked. And so the psalmist warns of 2 alternative destinies, of where they're in this life and at the judgment. And so, notice verse 3. He's like a tree. I'll come back to this a few times. Planted by the streams of water, yields its fruit in season. Leaf doesn't wither. All that he does, he prospers. Wow, sounds pretty exciting. But if you are righteous, you will be like a tree. You will be tree-like, right? Taking note of that, you will be tree-like. Verse 3, if you are wicked, you will be like chaff. Verse 4, if you are wicked, your way will end in destruction. There's something ominous about that in its own reading. If you are righteous, your way will be known and attended and protected by God even unto glory. That's the promise. That your way, that you'll be known, you'll be attended, you'll be protected, right till the very end. For the wicked, what is that? How will that end out? Chaff-like. Do you really believe that? You got to ask yourself that question this morning. Do you really believe that? It's what the scriptures, this Psalm 1 starts with. For the wicked, chaff-like, and ending in destruction. For the righteous, tree-like, and ending in the glorious congregation of the righteous. And so there's a difference, to the writer, there's a difference between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous delight in God's revealed word, and they meditate on it. Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law, he meditates day and night. That's a characteristic of the righteous. There's a difference. The wicked, how do they feel about this? The wicked scoff at God's word, and they heap scorn on those who follow it. How do I know that? From verse 1. So the conclusion is clear. Blessed, fortunate, happy, thrilled is the man who delights in God's word rather than joining the scoffers. Because you will be tree-like. It's part of where we're heading in this. You will be tree-like, not chaff-like. Let me pause and say this. I want more than anything else to be tree-like, tree-like in my life. Like a tree. Not chaff-like. And so you will experience God's care forever rather than perish in the judgment. So he gives us this warning. But the main thrust of Psalm 1, and that's maybe I can cut to the chase here, is to this, is delight yourself in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. You see, that's where this thing heads. And I'll come back to this again. So we have a contrast between the righteous and the wicked. And I'm going to look at a few verses here. You may want to track with me. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. And let me read it, verse 10 to verse 12. We've already charged that both Jew and Greek are under sin. It is written, none is righteous. Now, I just talked about the righteous. So this is why I raise these points to you. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. They become worthless. No one does good. So the writer says there is none righteous. Keep reading with me. Chapter 14 of Romans. And verse 1 to verse 3. Oh, sorry, not Psalm. Psalm, try that again. I'm like, where am I? Psalm 14. Try that. All right, bear with me. I laid it out with little stickers and everything. So here we go. Verse 3. They've all turned aside. Together, they've become corrupt. There is none that does good, no, not one. Now, what is he saying? Well, Paul was picking up from Psalm chapter 14, verse 4 and verse 5. They have no knowledge. All are evildoers. They eat up my people as they eat bread. They do not call upon the Lord. And so chapter 14, 1 to 5, simply says that this is what happens. But here's my point. For you who believe in the doctrine of justification by faith, this can maybe kind of throw us, so I thought I better address this. The psalmist does not mean that there are absolutely no righteous people. All right? There is a generation of righteous ones. What he means is that outside the sphere of God's special sanctifying work, which was going on mainly in Israel, by the way, but within the sphere of God's sanctifying work, people can be righteous. In my mind, it's not a contradiction. Where he says there is not there. David talks about the righteous. Paul says there is none righteous. And so, Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there none is righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. But that cannot be said of everybody absolutely. That's my point. Because in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the saints have feared God. Right? They have feared God. And so what Paul means then is that outside of God's gracious work to change people and draw them to him, people do not fear him and there is none righteous. You get what I'm saying? Is that it takes a special work of grace, but there are righteous people. It's just that it's within that sphere of what Paul was talking about here. So, there is none righteous, so it's not contrary to Paul's teaching or to other teaching, other Psalms, that humanity is divided into wicked and righteous, and that only the righteous will be saved. That's the first comment I want to make. So, second one is this, is that perfection, or sinless perfection, is not the same as being righteous. The righteous people are not sinless. Right? They're righteous, but they're not sinless, because that doesn't happen. So I make that comment. So when people say, well, they're righteous, well, I know they've sinned. Well, of course, we all are conscious of sin in our lives. All of us are. That's every single person here. So God never made perfection a prerequisite of salvation. Right? It was never sinless perfection. The whole sacrificial system was designed, of sacrifices, that is, was designed to impart forgiveness to sinners so that God could save them. And so when you see Psalm 32, turn with me to that if you would. Sermon chapter 32. And notice verse 5. This is David. Oh, I could go back to the first. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, sin is covered. Verse 4, from day and night your hand was heavy upon me, your strength has dried me up. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I do not even cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Wow. Verse 10, many are sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. He just confessed his sin, right? He said, I've got sin in my life. So he confesses it. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, you upright in heart. And I would say this, whenever you come across the word righteous, whenever you read about the righteous, think this way. Would you think this way? It's who are those people? Here's who they are. Those who trust in the Lord for their joy and repent of their sins in earnestness. That's who the righteous are. Oh, let me say it again. The righteous are those, just think, whenever you see that word righteous, just think, those who trust in the Lord for their joy and repent of their sins in earnestness. That, you'll never, ever go wrong. Sinless perfection? No. No, but are there righteous people? Yes. Yes, there are righteous people. So the essential trait of the righteous, what is it? If this group of people that trust in the Lord for their joy, picture it, take your own life, and secondly, repent of their sins in earnestness. That if somebody doesn't repent of their sins in earnestness, we could maybe wonder, well, what relationship do they have? Because it's one of the traits of the righteous. We trust in the Lord for our joy and repent of our sins in earnestness. So the essential trait of righteousness is this, that he or she, and this is why it makes us happy forever and always, he or she delights in God's law, God's instruction, God's precepts, God's testimonies, God's commandments, And he meditates on that day and night. That is the trait of the righteous. That is the thing that makes the distinction, is that we have this thing about, Lord, we love your law. We love your precepts. We love your testimonies. We can't get enough of it. And we meditate upon it day and night. Righteous people, folks, are, I'm sure, almost always happy people. They're happy because they've been dwelling on the word of the Lord. The first thing the book of Psalms chooses to say about the righteous is what? Is that they do not follow the advice of the world. That's the characteristic. But they find their pleasure in listening to God in his word. So the psalmist says, don't walk. Let me read. Let's go back to Psalm 1. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Doesn't sit. I made a little note here that if you stand around, if you'll finally be sitting, you'll be walking, you'll be standing, and finally you'll be sitting with the scorners and the scoffers. It'll just be that way. But for those of us who find our pleasure in listening to God in his word, see, this is the whole point of our lives. Someone said, where do you get your joy from? I meditate on the word of the Lord. It's my great delight. Nothing is better for me. I love his word day and night. So a verse comes to you and you say, that's wonderful. And you share that with somebody. It's all part of it. So the question is, and it's a simple one. How can I come to delight in the word of God? Because this whole thing, remember, we don't get our advice from the world. We get it from God. We don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't sit in the seat of scoffers. We don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. We don't do that. Why? Because our delight, remember, our delight, the best thing about us, our delight is in the law of the Lord. And on this law, it meditates day and night, and it's fueling us. It's like we're tanking up with it. And it brings us incredible joy that this is part of our life. It's just who we are. So the question is, how can I become this? Right? How can I become tree-like? What will I have to do that I'm not sitting with the scoffers and the scorners and the sinners? Because I will be. I will be sitting among them. God sees that. He says, you're either righteous or you're wicked. Now, so I'm asking the question, how can I come to delight in the word of the Lord? And the answer is twofold. There's a twofold answer to this. The first one, pray for new taste buds on the tongue of your heart. Pray for new taste buds on the tongue of your heart. Can I be honest with you? Many times I found the Bible boring. I was more interested in other things. And I have to pray. I have to pray this quite often. Lord, give me new taste buds on the tongue of my heart. That's the power of it. Psalm 119. Turn there if you would. Psalm 119, 103. Listen to this. It's so sweet. It's so rich. How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. In other words, every precept, every testimony, every law, whatever it has to came from God, every precept, every testimony, all of these things, they're a delight to me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey on my tongue. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now, I think that what happens in a world where we hear the scoffing and we know what people think of this and that regarding the scriptures and they're mocked, and we journey on, But I know in that process, it ends up that my taste buds are kind of wrecked, that I'm savoring other thing other than the word of the Lord. And you've been there where you dwell, you don't dwell on it, you don't read it, you don't try to put it to heart, you don't memorize it, you don't try to go over it, you don't share it with anybody. And you're missing out on the ultimate happiness and joy of your life. This will bring more joy that he says, and everything put together, there'll be nothing greater. And as you go through Psalms, you can see that because it's repeated and repeated over and over and over again. So that's the first thing in a new year, and so that happiness will not elude you, is to pray for new taste buds on the tongue of your heart. So that we say, oh, I was tasting and it was good. I didn't want to miss. See, it ought to be that, oh, I don't want to miss my time with the Lord this morning. We've all missed times. We've all got behind. And this is not about perfection. Remember that. It's not about perfection. But at the same time, I want to have that essential trait that marks the righteous. Right? This marks the righteous. The righteous love God's law. Clear as everything. That's bottom line. The righteous love God's law. We love it. Sometimes we're humbled by it. Sometimes we have to confess that we've sinned against it. But we love it. It gives us great, it's the sweetest thing to us. And and our whole life becomes focused on that. So that's the first thing. The second thing, if you want to delight in the Word of God and be one of those tree-like people, not chaff-like, oh, that frightens me, to think that your life is kind of blown like the chaff instead of like a tree. So the second thing is meditating on the staggering promises of God to his people. I'll read that again. Meditate on the staggering promises of God to his people. That's so rich. That's it right there. The staggering promises over and over again. I was just reading the other morning, unto him who is able to keep us from falling. I thought, you know, you don't have to fall. I was thinking of a particular person. I said, no, it's not inevitable. It's not inevitable. You don't have to fall because unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Now, you meditate and think about that. So I shared it with this individual, and I tried to encourage them with it. These are the staggering promises. And over, there's thousands of them. From Genesis to Revelation, the promises of God. And our year will be marked with richness because of the quality time we spent with the Lord in his word. And it's okay this morning. It's quite all right. It's quite all right to say, I don't spend much time in the word of God. It's okay to say that because that's the honesty. But as soon as you say it, say, Lord, you need to give me new taste buds on the tongue of my heart. Because I don't taste anything good here. I see it on TV, see it in my Galaxy tablet. I see it on my, lots of delight in there, right? We're delighting in this, but not delighting on the one thing that will bring you ultimate happiness and that will mark your life, that you will never be off track, caught up by the sinners, the scoffers, and the scorners. That's always the danger. So, those two things, new taste buds and to meditate and I'll come back to that. Here's the point. What we love and what we delight in, are you hearing this? What we love, what we delight in, and what tastes good for us is what makes us different, is what separates us. The Christian life, so you know this, the Christian life is not a matter of demands and resolutions and willpower. You're missing it. If you're just trying a little harder to be this or to be that, it's not a matter of demands, not a matter of resolution, not a matter of willpower. It doesn't work like that. That's not what motivates, that's not what keeps you going. The righteous and the wicked are separated by what they delight in. That's what keeps you going. Not demands, resolutions, promising to do this, trying to obey that. No, just we're separated. The righteous and the wicked are separated by what they delight in. The revelation of God or the way of the world. But you can separate. That much you know. That's why it's different. It's really different. You see, what we love, I love things different than the world loves. But unfortunately, not as much as I would like it to be. Right? What we love, think about it, because this is what will mark you. What you love will direct you to either being righteous or being wicked, at least from God's perspective. What we delight in. I hope you can giggle before this day is over. I hope that you get home and you've curled up in a little favorite spot, or tomorrow morning, whenever it is, and you say, and you read something, you say, oh, that's so good. So good. Oh, I'm not sure what Paul was talking about there. Not sure what David was talking about there. I'll put a little note here. Envy, check into this. Right, because I'm not sure what all that means, but I'll do. I'll look on that. Look that up and see what it is. See what I'm saying? But you're delighting in it, and you find yourself giggling over it and saying, "That's good. That's rich. Wow, 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 wow." See, I write FM or AM. My Bible's full of it. It's either for me or all mine. Right? That I'm claiming it. I'm claiming it. This is my. This is verse. I'm delighting myself. So, what we love. And what we delight in. You see, when you think, and I think, this new year, I get caught up in things. I'm easily distracted. Say, having a good time. Oh, is that a butterfly? You know, my whole life is a bit that way. And so I need some structure, because I want this to happen. Because if not, I will be like the chaff, blown everywhere. But so what I love, what you love, what you delight in, see, what do you delight in? As we bring this new year in, it's already the 13th. Isn't it 13th today? Wow, it's already. And we're moving, right? We're moving. So what we love, what we delight in, and what tastes good for us? What is it? If it's God's word, Old and New Testament, then you, my friend, are in for a great, great year. Because your delight will not come from the stock market. Your delight will not come from television. It won't come from your computer. It will come from meditating day and night, day and night, day and night on the goodness of the Lord and His Word. And we have an opportunity to test this. Right, we can test this year. We can look back and say, Owen, were you right about that? Were we right on this together? Because what we love and what we delight in, what tastes good for us, again, not a matter of demands and resolutions and willpower and trying to get it right. And oh, did I miss a sign? Don't worry if you miss something. That's just human. Sinless perfection has got nothing to do with salvation. Right? Got nothing to do with it. It's how I tried to describe it, that those that trust in the Lord for their joy, is that you? And those that repent of their sins in earnestness, that's the righteous person. And you can be that. And I can be that. With no effort, not trying harder, just by that which I delight in, that which I love, that which tastes good. And as we close our service today, we're gonna say together, we're gonna stand here, God, we want to get an addiction for the sweetness of your word. We want new taste buds so that it tastes so good to us. Oh, it's so good. What richness. Oh, what joy. What delight. What enjoyment I'm finding. Again, not from my circumstances, not from what the wicked are doing, not for what the unrighteous are doing, not for that you can't go that way. Although God says you will go that way if you're not like a tree. So the righteous and the wicked are separated by what they delight in. And I get that. I can see that. I can see that. And so I want the revelation. I either have a choice on the revelation of God, again, new further revelation day after day, right? getting more insight about what God is like and what pleases him. And it's amazing, right? It's so amazing when you come across these things and say, wow, the way of the world is sure different from how God sees things. So here's my take on it. I think deep down, nobody wants to be chaff. I'll say that again. I think deep down, nobody wants to be chaff. Rootless, weightless, useless. God's word in Psalm 1 is that the way of the wicked, they'll just be blown away. Not today, not tomorrow, necessarily, but that's the destiny. Blown away by God. Because they were rootless, weightless, useless. I don't think anybody wants to be chaff. That's just my take. All of us want to draw strength from some deep river of reality and become fruitful, useful people in the kingdom of God. So what is this river of reality? Because that's what we want to be plugged into, right? We want to draw strength from some source. We don't want to be, oh, here comes more wind coming. Here comes more chaff being blown. That's terrible. The more I think about that. We want to become fruitful. We want to become useful people. This year, I hope that I'm really mightily used of God. And I know that's exactly your prayer. You do not want to be deep down to be chaff-like. So we have a choice. We can become tree-like. Come back to that with me if you would. His law, his delight, you remember? What he tastes, what tastes good? What you enjoy? His delight is in the law of the Lord. The precepts, the commandments, the testimonies. We can keep going on that. And on his law, he meditates day and night, thinks about that, reads about that, goes over it. I remember some years ago, we had a thing here in the church where it was that just before you turn the light out, and before you have the last conversation with your spouse, and you read that, and so you just quote the verse, that verse that you chose, and you say it to the Lord. And then, when we did that for some months, it was amazing how people said in the middle of the night, they'd wake up and turn over, they'd go to the washroom, they'd be thinking about that verse. In the middle of the washroom, while they're going to the, I mean, they're heading for the washroom, and they're thinking, they're meditating day and night of a verse that they had said out loud and put it into their heart before they turned the light out, just so that scripture would ricochet around in their brain. So this person, this is the promise to you. This is the promise to me. Your delight, if your delight is in the law of the Lord, that's where your taste buds are. That's what feels good and tastes good and looks good. You will be, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. There's the river of reality that yields its fruit in its season. Okay, it's not year-round fruit, it's in season. You know that strawberries aren't in season. This is blueberries aren't necessarily in season. But there's always green. Yields its fruit in season, its leaf does not wither, and all that it does, he prospers. In all that he does, he prospers. Here's where we can take this. It's January 13th. There will be 40 more services. There'll be different, Marcel will be speaking, I'll be speaking, guests will be speaking, and there'll be lots of messages, there'll be stuff we do together, as you know, as we always do. But the promise is that if you delight in the Lord and you meditate on his word, you will prosper. This is the prosperity I'm into. This is the right kind. All that he does, in all that he does, he prospers. And the wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. And therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. That's all he knows. That's for this new year. We can say, Val and I can say as a couple, the Lord knows our way. And why are we righteous? We're not, you know, we say, it sounds pretty arrogant to say you're righteous. Well, we are righteous because, number one, we trust in the Lord for our joy. And number two is that we repent of sin with all earnestness. And God's promise is he knows our way, and everything we touch will be blessed. Because our delight is not in the scoffers or the scorners or the sinners. It's in the Lord. Could anything be simpler? Right? So simple, so beautiful, so good. And it all has to do, we're not saying, okay, try harder, do more, care more, pray more, love more, share more. We're not saying that at all. We're saying, let your taste buds be sharpened here this morning so that you love and you love the taste of all this good stuff. That you just can't wait to be a part of it because you're going to hear the word of the Lord when you come to your church. You're going to hear the word of the Lord when you turn, you know, when you're in the radio. You're wherever you go, you're going to say, oh, it's the word of the Lord. It's good for me. It's great for me. I'm going to prosper as we're doing this. And you'll look back, and I'll look back and say, that was a great year. It wasn't a great year because of what happened in the international events or in Belfast or anything. That continued prayer for that. But in the fact that you were eating the right stuff and you were delighting in it, and that's how the Christian life is lived. And so the river of reality is the word of God, and all the great saints have been made great by it. All the great saints have been made by this, that they meditate on the word of God night and day. Not because it's difficult. It's delightful. Delightful. And the enemy would try to get us away from it so that it seems boring. And it can't be boring because it has to do with God and his plans for our lives. Happy saints. Happiness will not elude you if you go this route. It will go this way if you are not righteous. As I close, I brought my book with me. This is a great book. I've lent this to a couple of people. Fortunately, I got it back. It's close, but it's George Mueller. How many heard about George Mueller of Bristol? He, back in another century, he formed orphanages for thousands and thousands to thousands of children. And he was a tremendous man of prayer and faith. And he never, ever asked for funds, not once. And money just came in, and he's famous for that. He refused to look to humans. He looked only to God, and God met all of their needs. But that's not why I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this because in the book, he describes about his delight in the Lord. And I'm going to close with this. So I just wrote some of it down. It was too much to give all of it to you, so I thought I'd just read it. George Mueller, 1805 to 1898. This is him speaking. The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The most important thing to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditate upon it, and that thus my heart might be comforted, reproved, instructed, and that this while meditating, my heart might be brought into experimental communion with the Lord. The first thing I did, after having asked in a few words the Lord's blessing upon his precious word, was to begin to meditate on the word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. And I'll just, I not brought in the part here. He said, I used to spend the majority of my time praying, and there would be little time left for the scriptures. He said, my life changed when I spent the most of the time with the scriptures, and because out of that often came my prayers. My prayers came out of that. So, searches, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it for the sake of obtaining food for my soul. After a very few minutes, my soul had been led to confession, or to thanksgiving, or to intercession, or to supplication. And this leaves me in a peaceful, happy state of heart. The first thing the child of God has to do morning by morning is to obtain food for his inner man. As the outward man is not fit for work for any length of time, except that we take food, and as is one of the first things we do in the morning, so it should be with the inner man. We should take food for that, as everyone must allow. Now, what is the food of the inner man? It is meditating on the Word of God. How different when the soul is refreshed and made happy before the service, before the trials, and before the temptations of the day come upon us. So the challenge to us here this morning is that we would approach the Word of the Lord with a freshness, with new taste buds. And I don't know, maybe you're already in a passage of Scripture, so we'll leave you with that, because that's good if that's where you are. But it might be that you're not anywhere right now, and you might want to take maybe the first five, just as a way, the first five chapters of Psalms, and just pick and let that be your meditation for these next few days of the week, 7 days of the week. It might be you want something else. It might be you take 1 Peter, you know, pick a passage. Don't say, well, I'm going to read the Word of God. What does it say? What does it mean? What should I do? What can I get out of this? But I know that when we come back next Sunday, you say, oh, I had a great time. I had a great time in the Word of God. I was meditating on it. And then God says, for that reason, you will be tree-like. And you won't be chaff-like. That's the challenge. And I'm praying I would solicit your prayers that I will find my greatest delight not in the work of the Lord, not in the church per se, but delight myself in God. See, that's what I must do. I can't delight myself in congregational life, because that has no control over that. It must be feeding our souls, right? We can't be getting our joy from attending meetings. It's not attending meetings that gives you your joy. It's delighting in the Word of God. And then when you come to that meeting, there's a flow that comes out of you, because you're a tree and you're feeding others and you're encouraging others from verses that you read, things that you came across in Scripture that really just amazed you, and it filled you with great joy. Stand, please. I think your children should delight you, but the Word of the Lord should delight you more. Your job should delight you, but the Word of the Lord should delight you more. It's a matter of taste. It's a matter of taste buds. There's things that I love. I love, I love, I love. I find so much delight in them. But the Word of the Lord must be a greater taste for me. And as you read through these verses, you will find that to be absolutely true. So what I want to do, I'm going to pray for fresh taste buds. It's a metaphor, right? So well, I don't remember feeling. Not really. Not real taste buds. Your spiritual taste buds. I'm going to pray that they're made fresh, because you've been licking and sucking on stuff that's not been good. And then I'm going to pray that you will meditate this week on the staggering promises of God. Just staggering promises of his love, of his care, of his protection, of his promise for us. Wow, that's what we'll do. And then we'll pray that this year will be the best ever. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. I've already prepared it. So, yeah, Val's going, I can't believe that. You already got it ready. Oh, I've got it. Yes, I do. I know where I'm going. So you want to be here. You want to be here. You want to be here for the next five Sundays, because we're going to be dwelling on the eternal things of God, and I trust that we'll benefit greatly from it. Bow with me. And if you're here this morning and you just He said, Christmas has done me in. I've been feasting and chewing and biting on all the wrong stuff. But I want the Lord to refresh my taste buds. I want to look forward to reading His Word. I want to memorize verses. I want to claim promises. I want the Word of God to speak to me and correct me and reprove me. Lord, grant me new taste buds for Your Word. And God, give me the ability to meditate like never before on the staggering promises to Your people, to each of us. And we know the world will roar and scorn and scoff, and this will be mocked. What we're doing, it would even be mocked. But we believe that the Word of God is eternal. And we will be those tree-like people, grounded in the Word of God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for speaking to us. And we love You, and I pray, God, for the next few Sundays that it would be a delight and a joy to us, that we'd really gain something and glean something from this. And we'll thank You and praise You, and we give You all the glory. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. If you have any cards you want, drop them in the slots at the back. Marcel will be at the back if you have a connection card. If you need prayer, come up to here. And if you need coffee, it's out that way, but don't leave the door open. All right, just getting warmer here. So God bless you. Thank you for being here.